Rick Tittle will fight anyone listening to this.
All right. Thank you for that. And welcome back to the show. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. And when we get our guest, we will throw him on the air, talk about MLS. And one of the things that the Premier League did when it broke away from the rest of the football league, not as far as this promotion and relegation pyramid still is working, but also just to hog the money, was they cut down their first division to 20 teams. And MLS has been expanding like the Milky Way, and they now have 28 teams, which is insane. It really is insane. But I'll tell you what, do you know who is in first place right now? And the best team in Major League Soccer are your San Jose Earthquakes. Right now, you either have a win or a draw or a loss. And what's interesting, in the East, every single team, the goal difference of four, every single team has been scored on. So when you look at San Jose, they played one game. They won 4-0, so their goals against, or I should say their goal difference is plus four, but they haven't given up any goals. That means they are the best team in Major League Soccer. So take a picture of it. It'll last longer, as they say. As they say, but when you look at Inter Miami, it always makes me laugh. That's from Inter Milan, Internazionale. When you look at Inter Miami, who didn't win it last year, and you think about the CONCACAF Champions Cup, Javier Mascherano, the former West Ham and Liverpool midfielder out of Argentina, now with the as head coach, they're called the Herons, by the way, which I didn't really realize. But the Club World Cup, and we talked to Sami Khedira, I did the other day, who's a World Cup winner with Germany, and they were promoing. But the Club World Cup, you're going to have Man City, Juventus, Real Madrid, Chelsea. They're going to start off playing in Miami. Miami has been drawn into a group with Porto, Palmeiras, and Al Ahly. Porto's obviously from Porto, Portugal. Palmeiras is from Brazil, and Al Ahly is from Saudi Arabia. So if they get it out of that, then they'll go into a group probably with Bayern Munich, Atletico Madrid as well. By the way, how cool is it that in the Champions League you're going to have a Madrid derby? You're going to have Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid. And you talk about two teams that hate each other. And I know Real Madrid and Barcelona hate each other, and that's Madrileños versus Catalans. And very few people have been able to play for both teams, like Figo and Michael Laudrup. But when you have the Madrid derby, is that you have the Galacticos at the Bernabeu, the Stadium of Light, the most successful club ever, and Real Madrid. And then you have Atletico Madrid, which used to not be that great, but now their stadium, the Mestalla, where we had the 2019 Champions League final between Tottenham and Liverpool, which we lost. Boo. Still hurts. That's like the working man's team. That's what they like to tell you. That's like if you are a Atleti fan, and you think about Diego Simeone, he's been the manager there for 14 years, which if you think about the big five leagues in Europe, the Bundesliga, the Premier League, Serie A, the Championnat de France, and La Liga, I think that's the longest tenured coach of any big five team. Simeone, by the way, who got the teeny little back heel from David Beckham in the World Cup, and then the Danish ref gave him the red card, and then after the game, Glenn Hoddle, the former Tottenham legend, England manager, said, yeah, Beckham getting sent off, that really helped. And so I don't think Spice Posse, Spice or Sporty, Spice, whatever, I don't think the wife... like that. The other day I heard somebody say, if you're under 30, you've never heard of the Spice Girls. And I was like, really? Are they that old? Are we that old now? That's something else. But anyway, getting back to MLS, what they didn't want to be was, when they formed, was going to be a dumping ground for older players like the NASL was. Now, you could say with the Cosmos, when you had Giorgio Chinaglia and Franzl Beckenbauer and, of course, Pelé, that wasn't really a dumping ground. But then you basically just had one good team, and then there was no parity. And then they would go play the Minnesota Lumberjacks or the Detroit Diapers, and it wasn't really a big match, right? But that was at a time when the United States Soccer Federation, or our version of the FA, when you got a cap, and Kyle Rote Jr. talked about the same thing. He had to fly himself to L.A. after he got capped in the game against Mexico, and they had the Mexico game in L.A., which was a home game for Mexico. All right, we have found our guest, and it is Emmy Award-winning producer Paul Martin, and this has just come out last week on Apple TV. It's called Onside Major League Soccer. And you can check out all the shows in this series. And, of course, you can watch MLS on Apple TV as well. Paul, when the idea came out for this series, and, of course, to showcase some of the talent, obviously there's Lionel Messi, but how else did you want to approach it?
I mean, I think we were really excited about, you know, just the way that the MLS is kind of structured, you know, the sort of the governance of the league. I think we just felt, as huge football / soccer fans, you know, we just felt that this series really offered us the best opportunity to really dive into, you know, a major league in a way where we could get in, you know, frankly, some of the places that we wouldn't get in some of the other leagues, you know, the dressing rooms, the boardrooms, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we were just super excited by that opportunity, honestly, of really being able to get into these clubs and get into the league and see behind the scenes of transfers and all that stuff. So that was really the driver for us and what got the kind of the juices flowing.
I think what it helps a series like this, too, is us getting acclimated to some of the newer teams. I went to the first ever MLS game in 96 at Spartan Stadium, and then here we sit today with 28 teams, and it's like, and of course, you know, the Prem has 20. So they keep expanding, and you hope that they keep adding teams, that they're not watering down the talent as they go. But, I mean, it's a good, you know, San Diego is brand new, and they won their first game as well. So I think it's timely to let people know about some of these expansion franchises.
Oh, completely. And I think I've said this, you know, a few times in talking about this show, you know, I get asked a lot of questions, particularly from friends in the UK and people that, you know, that love kind of soccer, you know, what is that kind of MLS experience like? You know, is it fun to go to the games? Is it an atmosphere like, you know, the Premier League? And I think the live game day experience at some of these clubs, and like you said, some of the newer clubs as well, you know, I mean, LAFC, they've been around a little bit, but they were an expansion club, you know, that as a night out at kind of soccer is as good as an experience as you'll find anywhere in the world, honestly. And so, you know, I think it's great to showcase, you know, that live experience, that fan experience, and just show how passionate people are in this country about soccer, because I think it still surprises people that they still somehow think that it's going to be a slightly kind of inferior product. And it's really not.
Well, that was one of the things they wanted to make sure when they formed this league, is that the NASL got to a point where it was kind of a dumping ground for older players to get one last check. And so when you had, you know, Ibra and Stevie G and Robbie Keane, whoever, it's like they had to make sure they could still play. And obviously Messi can still play. But I was interested, you take a look at Olivier Giroud, and we remember him with Chelsea and the French national team, and they kept thinking, well, they're going to move on from him, and yet you had Mbappe, and if Benzema was hurt, it's like Giroud is still playing for France. So now he is with the aforementioned LAFC. How have you seen his transition from the Premier League to MLS?
It's funny you say. I mean, Giroud, for whatever reason, he's always been one of those probably underappreciated players. You know, even when he was at Arsenal and Chelsea, and like you're saying, within the French national team, you know, there was always questions about why was Giroud kind of starting, you know, up top. And I think he's just one of those players that he's just incredibly effective, and he's incredibly good at what he does. And I think he'll, you know, I think whenever you come into a team halfway through a season like he did last year with kind of LAFC, I think it's difficult to transition, you know, whatever the level and whatever the team. I think, you know, I think we'll probably see the true Olivier Giroud, you know, this year. And like I say, you know, I think he's you know, he's delivered for every team he's ever played for, and I don't expect it to be any different at LAFC.
Last question for you. We're always, you know, looking for the next Landon Donovan and, you know, Christian Pulisic. And we heard the news when Kevin Sullivan signed for the Philadelphia Union at 14 years of old. Of course, there are cautionary tales like Freddie Adu and others as well. But when you saw that young man, what were some of the things that left you as impressions?
Yeah, I think it's as much his kind of composure and his maturity off the pitch as it is on the pitch. You know, it's listen, for any 14-year-old to set foot, you know, in an elite, you know, soccer league, the kid can obviously play, and you know, the fact that, you know, Man City, you know, he's going to Man City when he's 18 or whatever the deal is, you know, I think better judges of his talent than me kind of recognize that this kid has got it. For me, it was just when you meet him off the field and you see how, you know, how he talks about the game and how he talks about his journey so far and how he talks about how, you know, how far he's still got to go, which is, you know, which is true. And then this support network that he has with him, you know, that his older brother, you know, plays alongside him. He's got this amazing kind of family unit around him. And I think, you know, I think that that's going to be incredibly important for him as he kind of matures and as he kind of grows. But I think everything's there for him to genuinely be, you know, one of the next great superstars of the game. And like you said, listen, you know, there's many kids that go on to make that as don't. And, you know, you mentioned kind of Freddie Adu, and, you know, but I think that he's definitely got something about him, you know. And I made a film about Cristiano Ronaldo about 10 years ago, and, you know, was lucky enough to spend some time around Cristiano and, you know, to see the way that he, you know, he went about his everyday life and the way that he, you know, he went about his football career and surrounded himself with just really, really good people that really gave him good advice and told him when he was wrong and told him, but he listened, you know. And I think, you know, Kevin strikes me as a kid that listens to those people around him. And I think that's a hugely important kind of facet of getting to those, you know, next stages and becoming the player that hopefully everyone expects him to be.
All right. Everybody should check out Onside Major League Soccer, Apple TV Plus. We've been speaking with the producer, Paul Martin. And remember, and take a picture of the table, because right now my quakes, the Bruce Arena Revolution, 4-0 with a +4 goal difference. We are the best team in MLS as we speak, Paul. So thanks for your time, man.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.